For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series today on UFAs that are right for the Ravens. And today, Alex Bitzel is joining us. He's going to tell us who his guy is. Alex, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Ken?
Life is good. We've had a lot of interesting choices so far. T. Higgins, a bunch of different safeties and defensive backs. I'm not sure if this will have aired in time, but Khalil Mack is also on the list, might save him for a Monday. Who's your guy?
I've got Trayvon Merrig. I think he's an intriguing player that could be potentially added to the team. I think some people might have a little bit of trepidation at spending more money, you know, on defense as opposed to the offense. But I think what we saw in the playoffs this year, and I think the prevailing take after the Buffalo loss was that, you know, Lamar is doing his best to really put the team on his back. And the defense, while they're not giving up, you know, huge amounts of yards and huge amounts of points, they're really not turning the ball over and, you know, creating a lot of havoc like we see that they do in the regular season. And I think adding a player like Merrig could potentially, not potentially, I think that could allow Hamilton to go back to his position that he played so well in 2023. And Kyle Hamilton obviously had a all-pro season last year, but it was not quite what his 2023 was in terms of, you know, turnover, splash plays, TFLs. I mean, I think signing a guy like Merrig to play on the back end would really allow Hamilton, you know, to really become the star that he still is. But
all right, one thing I see in terms of Merrick's career so far is that he's kind of gravitated away from being a true free safety into being a strong safety, a guy who if we, literally his snaps at free safety have dropped year over year every year. Is there any concern there that the back end may not be the right place for him? There's no doubt he's a guy you want coming downhill and making tackles.
Yeah, I don't have as much of concern about that. He played his college career at TCU under a coach, Gary Patterson, that really played a positionless defense, and between him and Ardarius Washington, they really got to know pretty much every position. And, you know, coming onto the Raiders in 2021, I think he started out strictly as a free safety. But I think gradually over the years, he has spread out, you know, to positions all over. And I think that's just something that with Hamilton's presence on the Ravens, I think that's something that he necessarily wouldn't have to do as much of as.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is I completely agree with you on the Ravens' need for a free safety. That's a real need for the team. I guess I'm questioning whether Merrig is the right guy. And we saw just today, and we're recording this on Monday the 24th, that the Ravens extended a player and really overpaid him. And now I have to make sure I remember the.
You mean the Raiders?
The Raiders. That's what I mean. I'm sorry, Isaiah Pola.
Yeah.
Polamau. Yeah. And yep. So they gave him a 2-year contract, and he's had a lot of coverage issues in the past. So if you're signing a guy to play free safety and Merrig is not your guy, it's a little odd to me what that says about him.
Yeah, a little odd. From what I've seen from Raiders fans, what they say about that guy is that he's – I don't know that he is going to play strictly free safety for them. Mm-hmm. I think he played some in the slot for them as well. And I think they're not necessarily signing him as, like, the bona fide starter from what I've seen.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's what, around $4 million per season for him, yeah, and it sounds like he's going to be like in the competition for one of the starting safety spots.
Okay, 2-year deal. That's it. That if you're paying 2 years, $9 million, even when you have a ton of money to work with, that's not a great signing if you don't get real starter production out of that guy. You can have guys on that, like the Raiders had James Hurst, for example, in the offensive line as a backup, or McCary would be another good example of a guy who's making something similar to that. And he's in a backup role, but he's also your James Worthy, your first man off the bench when anything happens anywhere. So I kind of wonder about it. Anyway, I don't want to derail your thoughts on Merrig here. Let's talk about what Merrig brings to the Ravens, though.
I think versatility. I think between a trio of Merrig, Hamilton, and Washington, they really have the optionality, in terms of who can play over the slot, whether it's Hamilton, Merrig, or Washington, that I think it gives them optionality in terms of not committing to having Humphrey full-time in the slot. Mm-hmm. And I think the trickle-down effect in terms of what it would do for the defense is what intrigues me, because if you're not committed to having Marlon Humphrey in the slot full time, and if he can bump outside to corner, which maybe that's not his best position anymore. Maybe, you know, we saw last year he created a lot of turnovers in the slot, but you know, maybe you're not spending high draft capital on an outside corner now.
Okay. That's a really good point.
I think that's potentially something that people, you know, if they sign a guy like Merrig, you know, as a starting level safety, I think there's more to the story than simply, hey, we're signing a safety. I think it's, you know, all these other moves that can be in succession behind it in terms of moving Hamilton to more advantageous spots, and, you know, it reshapes the secondary.
Okay, now, I like that. I think that's a very logical reason to get him, particularly if you got a really another high quality safety. He can address your concerns at cornerback, because you have other guys like Darius and like Hamilton who can take over the slot role. I'm personally not in the market for another hyper versatile guy, because I don't think the Ravens need versatility at this point. I think they need good players at individual positions, particularly at outside corner, and probably not at slot corner. You know, if they put a free safety in, that's good, fantastic. Hamilton can move back up, but they've got the versatilities that they need is already on the team in the uniforms of Ardarius and Hamilton and Humphrey for that matter. I just don't think that they need to get another guy who can play three different positions. I think right now they need a player who can play one position and either free safety or outside corner very well.
Oh, I definitely think that Merrig would be the free safety in this situation. I just think that having three guys on the team that have that, you know, versatility, I think would be intriguing to me. He's also a player that almost never misses games. I think in 4 years he's missed two games, and he's played 98% and 99% of the snaps in the last 2 years. So
that's great.
At least so far, is a very durable player, but we also thought that about Marcus Williams. So,
hey, 4,300 snaps in 4 years for a team I don't think has made the playoffs during that time. They might have snuck in 1 year. I don't think so though. That's a remarkable total. It's a reasonable alternative in terms of that. So you've talked a little bit about the need this is addressing and who loses out of this, who loses playing time out of the acquisition of Trayvon Merrig.
I mean, I think it's pretty obviously Marcus Williams. I think, you know, obviously the amendment that they made to his contract, you know, makes it fairly you know, straightforward that they're going to be releasing him.
Okay, I'm with you on that, but he's already out the door and has been for the last, since week 11 of 2024. Who on the current roster loses a spot? Now, Marcus Williams, admittedly, was still on the roster at the end of the season, so it could just be his roster spot is taken. But there's also a game day 53 spot in the secondary where Marcus Williams wasn't taking one up at the end of the year.
I think it would probably be Bo Braid. I mean, they have the least amount of, you know, invested in him in terms of, you know, if he were to be cut, you know, him being a UDFA. Yeah, I mean, that would put them at five safeties on the roster. I think they were five safeties last year with Marcus Williams, but he was inactive for most games. So I think it would be the same amount.
I think it'd only be four, actually. Be Kane, Hamilton, Ardarius Washington, and Merrick, right? You're saying, if is there another one?
I'm not active.
That's only four.
No, I was just saying if he were to take Braid's spot.
Right. Okay. So if he takes Braid's spot, then it's Kane and the other big three, including himself, that are around.
Yes.
And my point has been that I think the Ravens maybe need to be looking for a fifth player at safety, since they play a lot of safety heavy packages, or if they just want to replace a corner on a fair percentage of plays and play half or two thirds big nickel during games, because they're very comfortable with what Hamilton gives you in the slot.
Yes. Yes. And Washington.
Washington for that matter. Yeah. Yeah. So if it's either one of those, if you want better coverage on a passing down, maybe it is Washington that moves to the slot. Maybe he plays both positions, a half field back end role in the big nickel, and a slot role when they want to play regular nickel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, certainly a player who's got some background in coverage. His overall coverage stats for his career are not outstanding, but they're not terrible either. He's given up about 8 yards per target, which is right around what you'd want, 7.99 for his career. He's also, this is a little bit more troubling, he's given up a quarterback rating of 116.9 career, and most of that's due to an 18-6 touchdown to interception ratio. Is there anything about playing with Las Vegas that probably put him in some compromised positions?
That's what I was thinking. I had written down that, you know, I think there's a potential for an improvement to his game, similar to what we saw to Roquan. Not that I'm, comparing the quality of player that he is to Roquan Smith, but, you know, we saw when Roquan came to the Ravens that, you know, when surrounded by, more higher quality players, you know, it certainly helps that player's game as well. And, you know, the Baltimore secondary is certainly talented.
Okay, completely agree with that, by the way. It didn't happen to work out for Eddie Jackson, but I think in general it has worked out a lot of times for players coming to the Ravens. A little disappointing that it didn't work out for Marcus Williams, but Marcus Williams was a hell of a player in his first 2 years when he was on the field for the Ravens on a per snap basis. I didn't have any question about his productivity. It's just this third year, all of a sudden, he's nowhere to be found, and frustrating drop off. Anything else about Merrick that is like a key feature you want him here for? And maybe any sort of a leadership thing, or is there any kind of another reason why you just have to have him?
I think he's just overall a very solid player. Like you said, the knock on his game is the passer rating given up. And that is, like you said, primarily due to the fact that he does not get a lot of picks. Mm-hmm. His missed tackle percentage is pretty low. You know, it's 7% looks like.
It was pretty good this last year, 7.4%, 29 stops.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you, about takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's an eight misses. That's a good ratio for a safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had just about the same amount of tackles as Hamilton last year. And he had a couple fewer. I think Hamilton had 14 missed tackles, and Merrick had eight. So I mean, that's a pretty good ratio right there. Especially if you're playing, you know, back end and you're the last line of defense. That's what you want in a guy,
right?
Which is kind of interesting because, you know, coming out in the draft, I think it sounded like the knock on him was sometimes he took bad angles and he was not like a very physical presence. And it seems like every year in the NFL, he's ratcheted that up and increased his just the quality of his tackling.
Yeah, and that's a good thing because Las Vegas has been using him more as a downhill in the box type player, as both at slot and at strong safety to run fit and whatnot. So you would hope that he would do that, and having succeeded in that is a good indication that he could be good in another type of defense. If you asked him to do other things, that he could adapt to it. I do want to say this one thing, because I think he's a good example of it. You'll often see a significant discrepancy between the PFR and the PFF targets. And Merrig is a good example. Merrig, by PFR, has had, Pro Football Reference, had 172 targets in the last 4 years. By PFF, he's had 151. That 21 target difference, which is, you know, it's what, 13% or something of the total, is targets between level two and level three that PFF more frequently attributes to the underneath player, to a linebacker who is dropping to cover between level two and three. So Merrig's targets, probably as a lot of people would see it, would, if anything, be understated by the PFF metrics. However, he's not any worse. He's, in fact, better in terms of yards per target by the PFR method. And that wasn't true of Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson, the last 4 years, had 10.0 yards per target by PFF, but 10.4 when you looked at PFR. In the case of Merrig, his numbers, his yards per target, actually improve using the higher number of targets under PFR. So he's at 7.6 instead of 8 over that period. In the same number. So he is a player that I think at least the division of targets for PFF didn't work out in his favor, which leads to that passer rating that we quoted earlier, the 116.9. So anyway, one.
Yeah, the PFR numbers, the PFR numbers are what I've been going by. And you're right, because I think the passer rating against was significantly higher with PFF. I think PFR has him at 92.
Yeah, 99.
PFF, 99.1. It was over 100.
I'll just say it's 99.1 over the last 4 years by PFR and 116.9 by PFF. So it's a very significant difference with the additional targets.
Yeah, huge difference.
Between level two and three. That's actually very unusual, I would say. I have not seen a lot of safeties that have gotten help from looking at it. All right, you got me more interested in Trayvon Merrig from this discussion. Now let's go to the most important part. What are you willing to pay, Alex?
Well, it's interesting. I think PFF has him projected at around like 15, 16 million a year.
Really?
I personally think that's a little bit high. I think in terms of like similar players, similar contracts, I think he's closer to somewhere around like 13 to 14 a year. I think a guy like Javon Holland is probably going to make a decent amount more in AAV and free agency just because he gets more interceptions. And I think that will be a knock on Merrick's game that will potentially bring his price tag down a little bit.
Can you justify?
I don't think he's going to set the market in terms of safeties.
Can you justify paying a safety $13 million a year, the bottom end of your range, saying in terms of AAV, when you're about to pay Hamilton 20 and have all that money invested in safety would be the obvious point.
Exactly. I think the way that the Ravens have been paying their defense, they've been scrimping on edges and they've been drafting their corners. Now they did pay Humphrey, and I do think that he will be extended this year, hopefully before free agency. But I think paying your safeties and drafting your corners is a good strategy.
Okay, so you're saying
the
free agent value could be higher at safety than it could be at corner, where you can really pay through the nose for an outside guy.
Exactly.
All right,
I'll buy that. And you know, if there's a position that we know that the Ravens can draft, it's corner. You know, they hit on a good percentage of their corners.
Yeah, particularly especially when drafting them early. High. Yeah,
exactly.
Day one, day two corners. They haven't been as lucky with day three corners. They, you know, Pepe and JAD both were kind of didn't work out. Mm-hmm. They've had other guys who kind of worked out. Kennedy comes to mind as a late round pick that kind of worked out a little bit, but Shockey Brown, I don't think we'd say was a real success here in Baltimore. I have to go back to look at some of the other late round corners they've drafted.
Stevens even, but Stevens was a third round pick. Late rounder.
And I wouldn't. So the Stevens pick is a third, given what they got out of him. It's kind of a shame
they
that they had a
good value year out of them.
They got a starter. They got a guy who ate a lot of snaps. I think they got enough value out of him. It's just it's prospectively he doesn't look like a value given the last year was his worst. That also, by the way, is something I would point to here for Merrick. His last season from a coverage standpoint was probably his worst. Do you think you should get a discount on him at this point in his time?
Well, exactly. Well, that was my thinking is I don't think he's the type of safety, you know, in free agency that is going to break the bank, so to say. I mean, 14 million, 13 million, still a lot of money, you know, that he's going to be one of the handful of guys on the Ravens roster that'll be making over 10 million. But I don't think he's going to be a, you know, Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick type, you know, blockbuster type contract.
Okay. All right. I think I'd be a pass at 13 million. I my number would be, and I, this is what I was really hoping you're going to say, is something like 8 million a year for 2 years, or maybe even 8 million, maybe an incentive laden contract of 5 million grading up to 10 million for 1 year. Even I'd be excited mm-hmm. about, but I just can't see putting a lot of additional funds there. You'd have to know that you weren't getting Ronnie Stanley. Maybe you'd even have to know that you were trading Mark Andrews to want to spend more money at safety. I have a hard time with this. I mean, there's obviously, you know, it's a lot more difficult to justify, say, T. Higgins than it is Trayvon Merrick, but it's also a I think neither of them is particularly likely to happen. Our guy who did T. Higgins, Eric Pisa, wanted to pay him $35 million a year, basically for 6 years, which would be a $210 million contract effectively.
I just listened to that episode before coming on here, and that blew my mind.
It would really almost put him in competition with Jackson for dollars, but certainly with the rest of the team. And to me, I appreciate the guy taking a big swing on a free agent like that. I just don't think that fits the Ravens' MO, and I really question whether or not they'd pay another safety at this point. They've always had kind of one safety they paid and one safety they haven't during their time with the in recent years, I'll say. Now they've used draft capital, you know, to draft Hamilton when they already had a safety, but they haven't really. I'd have to think back pretty far to the last time they were really paying two safeties at the same time. Might have been Rod Woodson and somebody. I'm not even sure who that would have been, because it might have been the late 90s. So really, really have to think about who that might have been.
I mean, they really haven't drafted, you know, outside of Hamilton. I don't think they've really drafted safety all that well, which is odd considering how well that they draft corner.
Ed Reed.
I just mean, like, you know, they've gotten Sanusi Kane, you know, Matt Great. Elam, you know, they've taken swings on drafted safeties.
And I have a different feeling first about round, that.
Really? So,
yeah, because Ozzy was the master, the absolute master of getting dime back talent or cheap safety talent. And if you go back, the guys they drafted, they all ended up being pretty good dimebacks. But Chad Williams, they got Corey Harris cheap, but he was a free agent, but they got him very cheap. If you go on, Haruki Nakamura coming in, and they had Chuck Clark, of course. Anthony Levine was a UDFA who they made into a pretty good safety. They had a seventh round pick in 96, Ralph Staten, who came on and played a couple of years for them and had, I think, five interceptions as a Raven. So I think they've done very well getting cheap safety talent. I think they could do it again. I was actually hopeful that they would draft a safety late, and maybe one where I didn't know who it was, so that it would be some secret from a small school that they liked the guy better. And then they ended up drafting Kane. I did know that much about him in terms of him not being a guy who really fit the bill as a back end safety. And that's where I think the Ravens, any sort of versatility I want has to start with a guy being able to split the field on the back end.
Yeah. They missed Geno last year.
Geno's another good one.
But like you said, Geno, you know, he had what I think he led the league or tied the league in interceptions in 2023. And I mean, he made peanuts, you know, on the open market. Mm-hmm. Merrick very well, you know, he doesn't have a fraction of the interceptions that Geno had, you know, in his entire career. So he very well could, you know, like you said, maybe he'll go for $6 million a season. Who knows?
Okay. All right. Well, I'd certainly be excited about him at that price. And if the Ravens got him, I'd be happy that Trayvon Merrick is a Raven. I really wouldn't be excited to pay a lot of money. But Alex, I really appreciate you coming on. Good amount of research for this. I appreciate that. And really appreciate all the questions you give us on the various shows we do. They're always very thoughtful. And by the way, folks, you really need to tag Alex into your conversations. Where can they do that?
My handle, I believe, is a.bits. And I think that's the handle.
That's it on Twitter. But if you tag him into a conversation, I guarantee you you'll get some good back and forth going on there. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on and do all that research. Other folks out there, still time to get in this UFA show. So if you have a UFA you want to propose, hit me up. DMs are always open. I want to hear from you. And a lot of them have been taken, but I'll get back to you very quickly and we'll get recording within a few days. All of these, and particularly all the big name ones, need to be done by March 12th when the free agent year starts, so that they can be put out by then. So we're not talking about free agents who've already been signed. Now, if you want a second tier guy or a guy who's going to make $2 million a year, that's fine. We can talk about that later in March if we need to, and it can air a little bit later. But keep that in mind if you want a big name. Alex, thanks again for joining me. And we'll talk to you next
time. Thanks. Great to talk to you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.